All this week, NPR's Ophebia Quist Arkton is taking us on a journey on the Congo River. It snakes for nearly 3,000 miles through the Democratic Republic of Congo, up from the rainforest in the south and crossing the equator twice before emptying into the Atlantic Ocean. It is the artery that gives life and livelihood to a potentially rich but underdeveloped country. Congo is the size of Western Europe, but has less than 1,000 miles of paved roads. The river is, in effect, the nation's main highway. Today, Ophebia prepares to board a barge that will head downriver to the capital, Kinshasa.
The Congo River is tantalizing. It's dark, wide, slow-moving, and surprisingly silent, but its physical presence is immense. The river dominates the lush, green port city of Mbandaka, capital of Equateur province, which straddles the equator. Perpetual activity on and around the water drowns out just about everything but the loud hum of the engines of vessels berthed at the port. Mbandaka is in a sleepy corner of northwest Congo, about 500 miles upstream from the capital Kinshasa. The most familiar sight in this city is of pedal bike taxis with colorful crocheted seats climbing up and down the hills ferrying passengers. Yet Mbandaka is a major regional hub.
Somebody selling shoes. A new arrival of second-hand shoes. I think he's saying 200, 200. That's what, about $2.50 for a pair of shoes.
Maman, votre nom, s'il vous plaît.
Yvette.
Yvette, Jema. Where did the shoes come from? Ça vient d'où?
Ça vient même à Canada, même en Amérique, même Australie, même les Chinois là.
Italie.
Europe, etc.
US, Canada, Europe.
Et vous faites du bon business ici? And do you do good business here?
Je fais. Je gagne beaucoup d'argent.
She says she makes a lot of money here in Mbandaka. And I think with that, she's dismissing me so that she can get on with business.
Merci.
Merci beaucoup.
It is here that many Congolese board the barges that carry them and their goods up and down the river. It's also where U.S. explorer Henry Morton Stanley stopped off to mark the equator in the late 19th century on his maiden voyage down the Congo. Food and smoked and salted fish from the north and equatorial provinces make their way downstream. Kinshasa, in turn, sends up items that riverine communities, with little access to the outside world, find impossible to get hold of in Congo's remote interior.
The Congo River is like a market, a big market, a floating market. And because of this, people come from far away to buy things they need.
That's Charles Lonkama, former librarian and archivist at the Equatorial Research Institute near Mbandaka. He now works for the regional government.
The development of Congo and Africa depends to the river because that helps us to live. When Congo is in difficulties, people can't travel. But if we're in peace, we can travel, and the boats and the canoes can give to the population of the river foods and medicines.
In recent months, this part of Congo has experienced unrest. On Easter Day, dozens of fighters crossed the Congo River and attacked Mbandaka, killing several people, including two UN peacekeepers. The assault was believed to be part of a local ethnic dispute over fishing rights and not part of the conflict in eastern Congo. Clashes there explain the continuing presence of the largest UN peacekeeping deployment in the world.
Gardez-vous au centre, présentez armes.
During the week we spent negotiating our passage downriver to Kinshasa, more than 30 people were convicted by a military tribunal here in Mbandaka for their involvement in the Easter Day attack. A dozen were sentenced to death, five were acquitted, and the rest returned to jail.
Le capitaine magistrat Gabi Lokombi, président.
handing down sentences, the Congolese military magistrate, Captain Gabilo Kombi, appealed for calm. But a senior regional official warned us not to travel up the Congo River because of the risk of attack. He said all vessels going downstream now required a military escort. The days we spent trying to secure a boat gave us time to shop for the essentials for an anticipated 3 to 4 day odyssey, including a portable generator. Now, most inland riverbank residents have no running water or electricity, so they rely on the Congo River to bring them electrical items, matches and pickup trucks, as well as clothes and food. The archivist, Charles Longkama, said river traffic remained vital, but that the number of boats plying the river had dramatically dwindled in the past decade because of back-to-back civil wars and a lack of investment and maintenance of vessels.
About 20 years ago, there were here a lot of boats from Kinshasa to Kisangani, and from Kisangani to Kinshasa. And little by little, we will be able to be like we were some years ago.
So you'd like to see more traffic, more trade on the river?
Of course, because in the villages near the river, there's no market, there's no school. And if a boat come by the river there, bringing pen, books, people will be happy to earn new things.
At sundown, on the eve of our departure from Mbandaka, a choir rehearsing at a church overlooking the Congo River lustily sang a hymn called Ebale Mbonge, the waves of the river. The song sings of life being like the river. If you take it too fast, you may not arrive at your destination. So be patient. A virtue we had to remind ourselves of many times as we set off on our voyage down the Congo River from Mbandaka to Kinshasa. Ofer Biakustarkton, NPR News.
Tomorrow, we travel along with Ophebia on that 500-mile-long river journey to Congo's capital. And we've got photos and an interactive map at npr.org.